We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the Morning Shift.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
You know, that's just like your opinion, man.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift on 92.9 The Game is presented by the Georgia Hemp Company. The Morning Shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiffany. And how are we feeling this morning, gentlemen?
I'm doing good. Look, last night, I stayed up a little bit later than I probably should have, watching the end of the World Baseball Classic. Crazy good inning, good game. A lot of people saying how great it was for baseball. A lot of eyes on the World Baseball Classic. And really, I think, and one of y'all can back me up, this is the most coverage the World Baseball Classic's ever gotten. So I stayed up a little bit late watching that. I know we'll get to a little bit of that later in the show, but yeah, extra cup of coffee this morning just because I stayed up till 11 watching that, and then the alarm went off at 3:45, so I'm a little bit dragging, but I'll get the caffeine flowing soon.
You guys get to wake up late. I was up at 3. I mean, it's every morning. Look, I'm a little bit irritated already this morning because I got
shocking.
Well, I got a new iPhone the other, so I'm the guy that I don't pay off stuff early. I wait till it's completely paid off to get a new phone. So I got a new iPhone the other day, and now luckily I buy the screen protectors, the glass screen, I don't know what you call them, but protectors.
Yeah, it's a screen protector.
But it, I had put it up on top of the shower door, and it fell screen first, and so it shattered this protector. And, like, it's not a big deal, because I will also use these screen protectors until they're cutting my hand because glass is chipping off of it. But it's like 10 days old, and now it's already got the spider web effect, and it just makes me mad. I don't like it, Dylan. It just irritates me. It just frustrates. It's just like, oh, that's how you're gonna start your day? You're gonna shatter your phone? Okay, great. I mean, I guess it could have started worse, though.
I was going to say, you could have definitely mangled the phone. I do have to do one thing before we go any further. I'm not going to make the same mistake that Bo did the other day. Today's my anniversary, so happy anniversary to my wife.
Clap.
Yeah,
yay.
Golf clap.
Golf
4
clap.
Years. And I'll be honest with you, 4 years, and we have a 2.5-year-old and a almost 1-year-old. We've fit a lot of life into 4 years. It's been kind of crazy.
Well, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. You know, I feel pretty good since no one asked me. You know, I'll just tell you guys.
how are you doing this morning,
I mean,
Tiffany?
Thanks, Dylan. You always care. You know, maybe it's the youth in you that, you know, these old jaded guys in here. Yeah.
Hold on. Be careful of people that are overly nice. Trust me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I probably woke up every hour on the hour. I don't know why, but like Mike said, I got the coffee flowing. And I'm feeling pretty good, feeling pretty energized. I know you are. Wait, what are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at the fact that your coffee Yeti is like a micro machine compared to your water
Yeti.
Okay,
I didn't run the dishwasher last night, and I've got my giant cup, and what I have another.
Hang on for a second.
This is the baby.
I've never seen a Yeti. Is that the espresso shot Yeti?
No, this is it's a 10-ounce. I think it's a 10-ounce cup.
It's like her other Yeti had a baby, and that's it. It's like a little Yeti.
It is.
It's the size of a beer can. Like, I've never seen. I didn't even know they made Yetis that small.
They do.
Yeah.
It's convenient for, like, on the go. If you didn't run your dishwasher, you can just grab this tiny cup. But this is, what, 8 ounces of coffee in here.
Wait, what does that have to do with the dishwasher? That thing's either clean or it's not.
No, my big cups are in the dishwasher, which I forgot to run last night. So I got stuck with the baby cup today.
So you're saying that's just the backup option.
Backup option.
But why do you even have a micro machine Yeti? Like, why would you even buy one that small?
It was given to me.
That makes more sense.
For free. by someone that didn't want it. And so I was like, sure, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take anything. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you don't need to drink that much caffeine. Like, I think this show makes me want to, but then, like, my heart starts doing weird things. You know, I want to be alive when I leave here, but I guess I would be alive when I leave here. Okay. You know what? Anyway.
it makes your heart flutter? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. So I used to not be a coffee drinker. I used to not drink coffee. And then I got really big into fitness. And so my trainer that I was working out with was like, why don't you try pre-workout? So I did, but I got the jitters. And so he's like, okay, well, why don't you try coffee? I'm like, I don't drink coffee. And then I started drinking coffee, but I used to put, like, you know, creamers and stuff in it, and then eventually graduated to adult life. Sorry, anyone out there that still puts creamer in their coffee. I just drink it black. Are you Mike, you put creamer in your coffee?
100%. 100%. What? Like, well, I'm sorry. I like to enjoy my life and actually put a little creamer in my coffee
for the ride in. It tastes good to me. I feel attacked.
I feel attacked right now.
I add a little collagen powder to it. So, you know, watch that protein intake.
Collagen powder.
There's 18 grams of protein in this collagen powder that's in my coffee.
And I don't know what collagen is. I thought it was something else.
Keeps you youthful.
I thought it was something you put in. I thought that was like a injection for your lips or something.
No, that's Botox. I don't do that.
Collagen's like, I thought it was like a facial cream or something.
No, you can inject your lips with collagen, can't you?
I don't know.
Do not hit us up on Twitter and tell us.
Yeah, you can tweet us about the Falcons, though, at 929 the game. And that's a pretty good segue to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and what they have going on. Because, guys, they are reportedly hosting. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network reports that they are going to host defensive lineman Calais Campbell on a free agent visit this week. I think this would be a great move. This is something that works out, Mike.
Is it weird how excited I am for this? Calais Campbell is he's been a guy that it seems like he's been a captain on every football team he's ever been on, right? He's been, you know, 15 years in the league. A couple of different teams he's been a part of. Absolutely massive, massive human being. But it seems like his presence in the locker rooms on places he's been is even bigger than that. So I get excited about it. I mean, when you think about the possibilities – we're talking about this later in the show, you're probably still trying to get some kind of edge guy or, you know, defensive lineman, even if you add a Calais Campbell. But you look at Taquan Graham, David Onyemata, the signing, Grady Jarrett, you start kind of mixing in Calais Campbell in that group and what he brings from a leadership perspective. I get really jacked up. I mean, I think that this group needs that. You add in, obviously, Ryan Nielsen has that background, a kind of defensive line. This group was terrible last year in a lot of different ways. This defense really as a whole was terrible in a lot of different ways. So I get excited about having a guy like that in the fold that's been around and knows what to expect.
Well, look, anytime you can – Calais Campbell's obviously – I think he's like 15 years in the league. He's probably a future Hall of Famer. And guys had 11 sacks in 3 years in Baltimore. He's played 41 of a possible 50. So that means he's durable. But look, he's going to come in. He's going to have his hand in the dirt. Now imagine having in a pass rushing situation, Campbell on one end with his hand in the dirt. You have Onyemata in the middle, and then you're going to have Big Grady with his other hand in the dirt, and then you've got a Lorenzo Carter, maybe Ebiketie. I don't know. Maybe Nolan Smith. Coming off the edge, that's a pretty formidable force to come at you in a passing situation, and maybe that would finally give us a pass rush situation that we haven't seen in years on paper anyways. Now you got to go out there and perform when the games are being played.
There's plenty more to say about Calais Campbell. I covered him in that Jags locker room for a little bit, so I'll have some insight on that coming up. We're also going to continue the Falcons talk. Josh Kendall of The Athletic joins us, and he'll have some insight on Jalen Carter and what the Falcons should do if he falls their way. That's just ahead on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of The Morning Shift. The Morning Shift on 92.9 The Game is presented by the Georgia Hemp Company.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. And joining us now is Josh Kendall, who covers the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Not bad for 6:20 in the morning.
Hey, not too bad. Appreciate you getting up with us.
Hey, first things first, Josh, I got to ask you this, man. I just got bombarded by my co-host right here because I put creamer in my coffee. First of all, I'm assuming you're a coffee guy just because you're with us at 6:20, but is there any creamer or straight up?
No.
I'm a big coffee guy, just coffee, nothing else.
You're my guy. You're my guy, Josh.
I'm ashamed of myself.
Straight
I'm sorry.
Josh, shifting gears now from coffee to the Falcons. We all read your article in The Athletic yesterday. And you're talking about Jalen Carter and how Atlanta fans need to start, you know, getting their minds wrapped around the fact that he's not coming to Flowery Branch. Can you give us some more insight on that and how it once seemed like he was going to fall? He could possibly be not on the board for the Falcons. And then now he possibly could be, and they may not take him.
Right. It has been a process with Jalen Carter. I wish I had used probably instead. I wrote the word fact. I probably should have used the word idea. I don't believe the Falcons are going to take Jalen Carter. I do believe he's going to slip to 8, and I don't believe they're going to take him. I'm not reporting, though, that he is completely off their board, that they have eliminated the possibility. I'm just looking at a couple of things. First of all, the fact that prior to all of the hullabaloo at the combine, there were concerns in Indianapolis, and there was some talk that he could get, you know, as far down as even 12 in the draft. Couple that with the workout last week, which was not good. Throw in, you know, Arthur Smith's sort of very public stance on the type of guys they want to bring in, and the fact that using a top 10 pick on a guy when you have any concerns about their availability and, you know, preparedness for those 17 Sundays that you're guaranteed a season, I think for me feels like too big a leap for this team. Now let's throw in the Eddie Goldman announcement, which they kind of snuck in. He's coming off the reserve retired list yesterday. We hear now that they may meet with Calais Campbell, who's not going to eat up a ton of snaps for you at age 37, but will eat up some. And I think that you're seeing that Atlanta build a defensive interior without the idea that they're going to plop a top 10 pick in there.
For the record, I completely agree with you. We talked a little bit about it last week after the pro day, and it just seems like you said, I don't want to use the idea of red flags because I'm really, personally, I'm not talking about the plea deal or any of the off-the-field stuff. But the workout
right.
to me.
I agree with you.
The workout to me just raised so many questions about a top 10 pick. And I don't believe that Arthur Smith and company can afford to miss on this one. I think when you're building and you're in year three and you're kind of on the upswing and you're playing a quarterback that has a lot of questions, I don't think you can afford to miss. And I guess my question is, that number eight pick is still there. So you obviously need help on third downs. You need help defensively. In your opinion, I don't want to ask you specifically what player, but maybe what position are you now looking at the Falcons going after with number eight?
Well, my mindset 10 days ago or whatever was, you know, thinking that that eight pick was going to be a cornerback, or that eight pick was going to maybe be somebody like Peter Skoronski, who could play a couple of positions on the offensive line. But that was under the assumption that they were going to get a big name edge guy in free agency. And that didn't happen. You know, I think that, you know, they added some interesting pieces, but we did not see a guy who you can just stick out there and say, go get the quarterback. So now I think that they've got to get that guy. They, you know, I won't say they've painted themselves in a corner, but, you know, it looks like they've painted themselves into a section of the room where they've got to go get a guy like Tyree Wilson if he's there. You know, the scuttlebutt is now he's not going to be there. A Miles Murphy, you know, he has a private workout April 4th at Clemson. A lot of eyes are going to be on that. I'm sure the Falcons will have folks there. I think they've got to get a guy who you do not have to create pass rush opportunities for, who can just go win you some one-on-ones. We didn't see that from Ibukete and Malone last year. They were young. They were rookies. They will develop and get better. We didn't see it a ton from Lorenzo Carter, who kind of is what he is, and he's a guy that they've paid rotational money, not we think you're, you know, hourly pass rusher money. So for me, that's the position they've still got to get.
But Josh, when you mention that, one guy that they saw last week when they were watching Jalen Carter kind of have a miserable day in his pro day was Nolan Smith. And I've talked to guys around the league that Nolan Smith, if you watch his film, I know that his size is a little under, more of a, you know, he's only about 6'3", 240, but he's got a great win rate. He can do kind of everything, and he's a guy that can win those one-on-ones that you were talking about. Is this Nolan Smith a guy that they might be looking at, that they might be interested in if a guy like Murphy or Wilson are already off the board?
I don't see Nolan Smith at eight. I also don't see Nolan Smith after you bring in Caden Ellis, who is a similar type player at a similar position. I don't think that Nolan Smith is a guy that we have seen. We haven't seen that body type play the defensive end position for the Saints in the last 6 years. And so I'm basing all of my kind of what I've got in my head of what the Atlanta defense is going to look like. It's what the defense that Ryan Mills has been in the last 6 years is looking like. So I'm thinking bigger guys. I'm wondering, you know, I'm wondering if Ibukete and Malone, you know, they're a little bit bigger than that. But, you know, do they need to add weight? You know, what's their role in this? I don't see a spot for Nolan Smith in this defense, and I think eight's probably a little high for him. But he's going to be fascinating for somebody who's got a position for him to play and a plan for him. And I'm interested to see what it looks like.
This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we have Josh Kendall of The Athletic. He covers the Falcons joining us on the Wade4.com hotline. Josh, I want to go back to, you mentioned Calais Campbell. And, you know, I got to cover him back when he was with the Jags. Obviously, Walter Payton, Man of the Year. I mean, just a great human being, great leader in the locker room. And if Jalen Carter is available, do you think if the Falcons are able to sign a guy like Calais Campbell, does it seem like maybe they still would go after Carter now that you've got a mentor like that in the locker room?
You could see that. You could absolutely see them thinking that, you know, that Calais Campbell is exactly the kind of guy that we need to mentor a young player. But they probably, frankly, feel they've already got that guy in the building in Grady Jarrett. I mean, I think that they would feel very comfortable with Grady Jarrett as a guy to mentor young players. Maybe you think you play double coverage, you know, with you add another one of those guys and it can't hurt, and it probably can't. But I don't know that I I could see that line of thought, and I had that thought ran through my head last night, but I don't see those two being connected.
I find it interesting the way that the Falcons have kind of gone about free agency so far, and we kind of move into this, I don't know what you call it, tier two, or, you know, this, it's almost like the second day of the draft, if you will, of the free agency. You get Mike Hughes in the building, you sign Mac Hollins. I know there's been whispers out there still about the Falcons trying to find a speedy wide receiver, maybe through free agency. There's been names thrown around. I'm not going to just float any of them out there, but any insight into what the Falcons are still trying to do in free agency? I mean, do you add another corner? Do you still trying to find that wide receiver? Is there any edges out there that maybe Falcons fans can look at and say, hey, we might be going after this guy?
I'm with you. I think a burner at wide receiver is still, you know, missing in this group. There are some guys out there. You know, there's another former dog in Mecole Hardman. I have no. I'm not saying that they're looking at him or have talked to him in any way, because I don't know that. But they need that position. There's some of those guys in the third round of the draft too. So that's my question mark. You know, could they add a cheap edge rusher who's still out there? You know, there's still some names out there. Yannick, and I'm gonna butcher Ngakoue's last name. Yannick Ngakoue's last name. He's still out there. He's a guy who had 9.5 sacks last year and is, you know, clearly not drawing a long line in free agency. So if they can get somebody cheap and bring them into camp and see what they've still got in the tank, maybe. But, you know, they could also hold on to this money, see how the draft goes, see what they still need, see who might, you know, become available because of salary cap restraints. Or, you know, in the off season, or even in training camp, even with just straight cuts, and be prepared to absorb somebody in that at that time.
Josh, when we talked to Rashawn Evans after the final game here in Atlanta, he was really adamant about coming back. He wanted to be here. He said he loved Atlanta. He loved playing here. He loved everything about this place. With the Ellis signing and Troy Anderson, I know you talked about this in your article. Is the door closed on Rashawn Evans coming back to Atlanta?
I don't know that it's closed, but, again, you start looking for places for guys. So if they're going to run a 4-3, obviously Caden Ellis and Troy Anderson, I think, are in that starting lineup at Mike and Will. And then you've got a strong side linebacker. Rashawn is more of a middle guy. I don't know how much of that strong – I'm sure he could do it. I'm not sure how much of it he's done. But you might just throw Mike Walker out there, because that strong side guy, you know, is coming off the field in nickel defense. You're going to play a ton of nickel defense. So, you know, you're not getting a ton of snaps from that strong side linebacker position, probably. So do you feel like you want to throw a ton of resources there? You know, there are a handful of guys who I thought I was pretty confident were going to be coming back, that now I don't know. Throw in Michael Pruitt. You know, with Jonnu Smith signing, do they bring Michael Pruitt back? Elijah Wilkinson, I mean, they still do need a left guard, unless they think it's Matt Hennessy or Jalen Mayfield's going to take a big step. So what happens with Elijah Wilkinson? He's still out there. There are a handful of, you know, Falcons guys from last year that you could still see coming back. And you've also, going back to the last question, you've got to leave a little salary cap room for those type of guys.
A wealth of insight. Josh, thanks so much for drinking that coffee without creamer and for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
That was Josh Kendall, who covers the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Guys, coming up after the break, we will hit that front page and talk a little bit about the Hawks. They took care of some business last night. That's just ahead on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of The Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. And we just had a call with Josh Kendall of The Athletic, who covers the Atlanta Falcons, giving us some great insight into what they might or might not do with that number 8 pick of the draft. And something that stuck out to me, you know, we talked about Calais Campbell reportedly coming to the Falcons for a visit this week. We covered that with Josh again. And, you know, in just covering Calais in my time at NFL Network, when he was with the Jags. I mean, this is a great all-around guy who, yeah, 37, and can still have some legs to him, right? Can still make some plays. But also, you know, we're talking about just the leadership he brought to that locker room. I mean, I was there when the Jags were making their run, trying to get to the Super Bowl, lost in the AFC Championship game to the Patriots. Calais, a huge, huge part of that. And just guys rallying around him. Also kind of was a mentor to Josh Allen, who was one of their top picks coming in there. I know that Josh was upset when Calais left, that he called him his mentor. So I just think having a guy like a Calais Campbell, regardless of, you know, how many snaps he's in there for, is going to make an impact to a locker room that already has great leaders, as Josh had mentioned, too, like with Grady Jarrett and a number of other guys.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Tiffany, about what he did in Jacksonville. And I had a guy, Larry, who's a big listener, and he was tweeting with us about it. And he was like, well, you know, he's older. I thought we were getting younger. Well, we are. But to your point, you can never have enough good character leader guys in a locker room, because remember, there are different types of leaders. And I think some guys, they'll lead by example. Like Julio, we talked about Julio in our show meeting. Julio was more of a lead by example guy and was vocal when he needed to be. But some guys are overly vocal. So there's different types. Not to mention that Calais Campbell can still play. He's like I said, 50 games that he had a chance to play in Baltimore, played 41 of them. For a guy that's been in the league this many years, that's pretty good. Don't forget, though, he's not going to be an every down player. He's probably going to be a situational player, which means you're maximizing Calais Campbell and you're maximizing your talent on the roster.
Yeah, and two, it's like you said, a rotational type of guy. You're not going to ask him to be an every down kind of player at this stage in his career. And by the way, 38 years old, I believe.
37, I think.
37.
Right.
So he's been around a while. I believe he was part of that 2008 draft class. I'm going to bring up a name, Bo, and you kind of tell me. Guy I played with in Atlanta, Mike Peterson. Kind of reminds me, he's in the fold kind of a Mike Peterson, kind of an old head, a guy that's been around, a guy who knows how to be a pro. And look, as highly as we think of Grady Jarrett, and I love Grady Jarrett, everybody can stand to learn something from a guy like Calais Campbell in the locker.
No, that's really well put, and I'm a big Mike Peterson fan, as everyone knows. But yeah, that's exactly right. And now look what Mike Peterson's doing. He's coaching. I think he's at South Carolina. I think he was at Florida at one point. I think he was at South Carolina and he flip flopped. But anyways, Peterson's coaching now. Look at Clay, dude. I'm sorry. I don't care. I'm never gonna apologize for being excited about when I hear Calais Campbell and the Atlanta Falcons in the same sentence.
He's the largest human being I've ever interviewed in my and the nicest. Like, that's the thing too. Like, he's just a jolly guy, but I wish I told him I was gonna do an impersonation of his voice, like when I used to cover him. I mean, seriously, like the Calais voice is like, I can't even do it, but he's just, you know what he reminds me of? He always sounds like he just ate the best meal ever. Like, he just ate a hearty meal. And it's just, like, so good. Like, that's how Calais Campbell
just had, like, a T-bone or something.
It's yeah, like, he's yeah. like, oh, this was just so good. He's just it, so nice.
He's a scary dude on the field, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, we can hit the front page. Now, that was not smooth, Dylan. That was not smooth.
One, two, three. It's time to take a look at today's top headlines.
This is the front page on The Morning Shift.
I'll get it together one day. I just don't know when that day will be on the Morning Shift.
Should
on Sports
put some
Radio.
Creamer in that coffee this morning.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, you're listening to The Morning Shift. I will never put creamer in my coffee. That's my hot take. Never.
Well, yeah, you put collagen, which you also could put in your
face.
It's
flavorless.
By the way, Dylan, back me up. You can put collagen. I want to do some house cleaning real quick. Dylan, back me up. You can. They do put collagen as like lip.
Yep.
And stuff. Also, my boy Johnny Rutledge just hit me up, former Gator national champion, Florida Gator, and said, yeah, Mike Peterson is back at Florida coaching. He did go to South Carolina. He's back in Gainesville.
It was so funny, dude, when he was in the locker room, he's talking about, I think, like, he had one of them, like, circular driveways, and in the middle of it was, like, a big Gator statue that spit water out of its mouth.
It's like a fountain?
Yeah. Everybody, it was so funny.
Peterson was a funny, funny dude whenever I was around him covering the team.
Well, the Hawks, they took care of some business last night at home. They beat a team that they should beat. So I see you looking at me, Mike.
Well, no, I mean, look, I watched most of this game kind of flipping back and forth between this and the World Baseball Classic. And it became apparent that Detroit was, look, there's a lot of guys that are hurt up in Detroit right now, and you were hoping that the Hawks would kind of take care of business. Bogey in the starting lineup last night drains a couple of early threes, and I thought Trey really played well. I think the biggest point of the game last night, and I don't know if either of you guys saw it, I'm trying to pull up the guy's name right now. That there's a guy for the Pistons that goes in for a layup.
Ivy, I think, is his last name.
Yeah.
So he goes in for a layup at the end of the game. I couldn't remember who it was. He goes in for a layup at the end of the game, and literally the shot clock's off. There's 2 seconds left. I thought that was the biggest point of the night for me, that John Collins and Trae Young go and get in this dude's face after he kind of has this meaningless bucket as the clock hits zero. I don't want to – so obviously we pay a lot of attention to Trae Young around here. I thought that was one of the biggest leadership type things that Trae Young has done in my time watching him, is stepping into this dude's face and saying, dude, we ain't playing that game around here. I absolutely loved it at him.
I thought it was great to see that fire come out of him. For all the talk, like you just mentioned, about Trae this, Trae that in that locker room, he came out and had his teammates back. Like, he came out and was like, this isn't what we're doing here. And I think the guys responded to that as well.
Yeah, look, Jaden Ivey's who it was. It for me, the biggest moment was the fact that John Collins and Trae Young, who have been pitted against each other in the media at times, and rightfully so, because they have been on different pages, and they've kind of been honest about that. John said on this station that, hey, we might not always see eye to eye, but at the end of the day, we go to battle together, that they stood together in solidarity when Jaden Ivey was just basically stat padding. To me, the biggest point in the game, in the actual game part, was the 16-0 run late, I think, in the third quarter or early fourth. Bogey had, I think, three threes in that span.
Dude.
Remember, you can talk about Detroit missing players. We were missing DJ. We were missing Jalen Johnson still. So there's still, you know, the Hawks weren't full strength. But the fact that the thing that stands out the most is this Jaden Ivey, John Collins, Trae Young thing, that's exactly what we want to be talking about after you play one of the worst teams in the league. Like, I shouldn't be talking about how you blew a lead. I should be talking about how you got into his face because he was stat padding at the end of the game. I love that.
This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The other really big thing, too, is just not only how they finished the game, but it's how they came out and started. And, Bo, you mentioned the start to the second half, too. And Clint Capela talked about that, how important the intensity was from this team, and that's something that we obviously did not see in that loss against the Spurs.
Yeah, we talked about how kind of disconnected Clint Capela looked over the weekend at certain times. I think he was even part of one of the wake-up calls on Monday, caller calling in. 16 boards last night. I thought they did a great job really crashing the boards and the offensive rebounds, getting second-chance points. And I think, in my opinion, between that and between Bogey knocking down some threes in the starting lineup, that was the difference in the game. Look, I think you're right, Bo. I think anytime you play a team like this, you don't want the story to be, well, it was closer than it should have been. Well, this happened. Well, we had these guys injured. You went in, you dealt with business. Now, if we can back it up, take care of the T-Wolves tonight, maybe the story going forward, you know, for this team will be how they're kind of building towards something and possibly a postseason run. But I'm not getting my hopes up just yet. But I think the T-Wolves look a lot like the Hawks do at this point in the season. So it's kind of an even trade game tonight. We'll see how that thing turns out.
Mike, how's that coffee with creamer treating you? Are you feeling alive after staying up late watching the World Baseball Classic last night?
Dude, I don't know how anybody couldn't. Anybody that watched it last night and watched what this was for baseball, and multiple people, by the way, that were involved in this thing, I want to say it was maybe Mookie Betts last night. Look, World Series champ said, this is the greatest thing baseball-related that I've ever been a part of. Mark DeRosa said as much, that really the winner in all this, Japan wins the championship last night, by the way, probably need to cover that, but really the winner in all this was baseball as a whole. You didn't have any of the new rules that you're going to see in Major League Baseball. It was just straight out drama. The fact that Mike Trout was the third man up in the ninth inning in a one-run game against Shohei Ohtani, who is just, I don't know how anybody, if Ohtani was a closer, dude, he's throwing 101 down the pipe. Mike Trout can't catch up to it. And then he throws a slider to finish Mike Trout off. Dude, it was just, it's nasty.
You nailed it. It was a huge moment for Major League Baseball because you've got two guys. One has been the face for the last 10 years of baseball, and Mike Trout, probably the best player in the league, against the new face, a throwback player that can do it all in Shohei Ohtani. But I got to steal something. And Grant McCauley, our Braves insider here for the station, he had a tweet that was phenomenal last night. He said, hey, the baseball went out and got itself its version of WrestleMania. And when you listen to this call, you will know exactly what Grant means.
Trout's ready. 3-2. He struck him out. Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
I really think, in my opinion, the reason that this World Baseball Classic has been such a big deal is because of Shohei Ohtani. He has become such a legendary figure. And just a guy that, by the way, beats out a ground ball last night. Incredibly fast. He comes in throwing 102 to finish it off. He's a one in a million. And you call him a throwback player. I don't know that we've ever seen anything like this. I mean, I know that, look, you look back at like Babe Ruth and those guys were pitchers. None of them were even close to being the athlete the Shohei Ohtani is. Somebody actually tweeted me a video of him last night deadlifting 500 pounds and doing 500-pound squats. The guy is just an absolute animal. I think when you look at the popularity of the WBC, that's the reason. It's Shohei Ohtani. And I think this is going to carry over, though. I don't think it's something that just ends right now. You talk to a lot of these guys on both these teams and some of the other teams that were involved, they are already talking about coming back in 2026 and being a part of this thing for the next round of it. So a lot of momentum at least building. And look, we talk about it. Major League Baseball is overall winner here. Opening day in 8 days, Bo. I gotta get my fantasy draft kind of lined up, man.
I know we gotta go. How do all these people get hacked and I can't get in my own accounts? I can't even get in my own email to get into the my fantasy account so I can set my keeper because I have Ohtani the hitter. I don't like that.
Can't play fantasy. Hey, any guesses on what my trap bar deadlift weight was? A max?
Deadlift?
Let me go with 275.
Don't insult me.
275.
385.
No.
Yeah.
Trap bar? That's pretty good.
Thanks.
I'm not going to go to the gym.
Bo, do you know what a trap bar is?
No.
Bo doesn't know what that is.
I just know the regular deadlift, and I know that I don't do 385 with that, so.
Boom.
Trap bar, man. Good posture.
Well, we'll keep talking about the Falcons ahead on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Should the Falcons take him if he falls their way? That's just ahead. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.